I'm just going to ask you to stand if you can one more time. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you if you have a physical need in your body, just put your hand upon your chest. How many know that God can heal you without anyone touching you? He's done it many, many times by faith. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for being here. Your presence is here, your Holy Spirit. And Lord, right now, your word tells us in the scriptures, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, you said you sent your word and you healed us. And everyone this morning that is here listening and in this room that has the need, Lord, I thank you for healing them. The work has already been done. Your word said that Jesus said that by his stripes we were and are healed, and the work was finished on the cross when he cried it out. So Lord, the work that needs to be done in each life is already finished. We by faith thank you, praise you for it, receive it into our bodies right now. Say to yourself, I am healed in the name of Jesus Christ. By his stripes, I was healed. I am healed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. You may be seated. Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, I ask that your anointing be upon this service. For those who didn't make it this morning, they missed church. Lord, there's work that goes on in a church, whether we see a physical manifestation, but there's a spiritual manifestation that you do when we take the effort to come to your church corporately. People don't look, they look for things, but we don't have to look for things. We just have to know that you said you would be there. And that's the importance, Lord, you tell us when we come together, Lord, that you are in the midst with us. And I know, Lord, I know in myself that if I miss church several times in a year, it affects me spiritually. And I know that when I attend regularly, Lord, I feel like I'm where I belong. And I believe you're doing a work, because when we come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, you are amongst us. You are in the midst. You are doing a work, bringing us together and helping us to encourage one another. And you did that this morning through our worship. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing and are going to do this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shout it out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As loud as you can too. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing how fast it settles down. Well, this morning, I believe the Lord wanted me to talk on a subject, the cancer of unforgiveness. I'm here to tell you the truth. Amen?
Amen.
See, Jesus, he was the truth. That's why the world hated him, because he was the truth. People didn't want to hear the truth. They want to hear things that make them feel good. And it should make you feel good when you hear the truth, shouldn't it?
Yes.
It should make you feel good. And sometimes the truth hurts because we aren't living the way we were supposed to. And so it will hurt. It will offend. But it's meant to help us to grow and to walk that path. So this morning, I think it's important, because I see a lot of unforgiveness in the church and out of the church today. There's a lot of hatred in the world today, a lot of anger within the homes, within the church, within our world, within our workplace. And a lot of things are said, a lot of things are done that hurt people deeply. And people walk around and they hold that within themselves. And we need to get that cleaned up in ourselves, because it's a vital importance of our living with our Heavenly Father for all eternity. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, meaning love, which is the bond of perfectness. We do it through love. Amen? But here we go starting out. That's one of the commands of the Lord, that we forgive one another. And this morning, if you're watching or you're sitting in here this morning, the people that I am able to reach, I know there's unforgiveness in this room today. I know there's unforgiveness by people watching today. It's there. Sometimes it's buried, but it's there. God wants to clean that out in order for us to go forward and have a victorious life. You know, the story is told by Ernest Hemingway of a father and his teenage son who had a relationship that had become strained to the point of breaking. Finally, the son ran away from home. His father, however, began a journey in search of his rebellious son. Finally, in Madrid, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day at noon, in the front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. There's a lot of Pacos in the world today. In our world, who are dying to be forgiven. There's people who want forgiven, to be forgiven. There's people that we need to forgive. But there's many people crying out today because of the harm and hurt done in families, in churches, and they're looking for forgiveness. And so many others who are dying because of the cancer of forgiveness. You know, cancer is killing us. Hopefully, JFK can help us, huh? Yeah. At least get us on some of the track. But about, I looked this up. This is in the year 2025, last year. About 2,041,910 new cancer cases were diagnosed in 2025. 618,120 cancer deaths were projected to occur in the U.S. That's almost 1,700 people a day dying from cancer, and remains the second most common cause of death in the U.S., accounting for nearly one of every four deaths. Many doctors in the U.S. believe there is a direct correlation between cancer and forgiveness. In fact, a recent nationwide survey revealed that 97% of doctors believe affect the body's ability to fight disease. That's from doctors. That's how it is important, by what we think and what we say. Carl Menninger, the famed psychiatrist, once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. And I believe that. There's a lot of unforgiveness in people's hearts. It happens continually. Unforgiveness is a cancer to our souls. It carries many holding on to grudges. Things been said to you, you said to other people, may not think they hurt, but they're deep, they're grudges. People will hold on to those things and it becomes a cancer within them. That's all they dwell on, and they can't forgive. A biblical example I thought was really good, it's my favorite one in the scriptures, is the story of Joseph, who was able to overcome that cancer and forgive his brothers when he had the chance to take their lives. He could have done that. But what I liked about Joseph, when you read that story, and it's too long for me to read it all this morning, but as I read that about Joseph, he had a humble heart. God can work in humble hearts. He can't when we have prideful hearts, when we got to get even, when we got to think that we're on the same level. That's pride. That's not humility. And Joseph was an example of humility in his life, thinking about everything that his brothers said and did to him, even trying to kill him. He still had a humble heart. His act of forgiveness is foreshadowing of how Christ forgave his enemies from the cross. And when Jesus cried out, and you remember that, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Forgive them. Can you imagine Jesus, everything that was done to him by people, all the hate, all the rejection, all the mocking, all the shame, all the verbal abuse, physical abuse that Jesus suffered for you and I, walk in this path on the way to Calvary. He hung up there and he said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And many times when you and I say things or do things and we think it doesn't hurt the person that is receiving it, something is going on inside. Or you're receiving it, and there's a hurt that develops, there's a grudge, and there needs to be forgiveness. Because sometimes we say things we really don't mean, right? And whatever. But Joseph, he's a beautiful type of Christ in the Old Testament. And the parallel between Joseph and Jesus are amazing. Both were loved by their fathers. Both were rejected by their brothers. Both were tempted greatly. Both suffered innocently. Both were unjustly tried. Both took a Gentile bride. Both forgave those who hurt them. And both were exalted to a glorious position. What a parallel that God already showed us Jesus way back there in Genesis. One of the most memorable moments of Joseph's life is found in chapters. His brothers were brought before him in the charges of violating Egyptian law. Joseph had the power to take their lives, to punish them. They had no clue who he was. They thought he was dead. When the brothers faced his unknown Egyptian ruler, Genesis 45:1 says he surprised them when he stepped off his place of authority and he revealed himself to them. That must have been an experience, huh? Verse 3 says they were totally shocked and afraid and could not even answer him. I could imagine that. Looking at the second most powerful man in Egypt, and they're standing before him, looking at him, and I wonder if that dream come to truth, where the sheep would bow to him. Joseph forgave them for hurting him, and then gave the classic statement that you read in Genesis chapter 50, verses 20, 21. He says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Just think about that. That is the Romans 28. You know the one that says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to the purpose." Do you suppose that maybe some of the evil that's been done to you that God permitted and allowed for God to work out some good in your life and somebody else's put you in a position where you had the power to change somebody, of influence somebody's life for good? Joseph, like Jesus, forgave those who tried to take his life. So I want to ask, how do you treat those who offend you or have offended you? How do you treat them? It's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? How do we treat them? This test of our faith in Christ and how we respond to our enemies. I know I failed many times at it. And it's all because of pride in a heart, not humility. Because we're not going to let anybody get away with anything, to say anything, do anything to us, we're going to get even. That's pride. Pride brings horrible things and says horrible things. And this involves asking God to bless them, seek their well-being. That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? If somebody offends you or hurts you. And praying for their salvation. Matthew 5:44. I've read this in the past. "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Say with me, love.
Love.
Your enemies.
Your enemies.
Maybe it's good to talk it out, huh? And Bless them that curse you. Say it with me. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Boy, that's pretty harsh things for God to ask us to do, isn't he? But he did. Joseph did. But that's the Lord's answer. There will be no excuses at judgment day for holding a grudge. There will be no excuse. Because God told me right here what my responsibility is to do when somebody hurts me or offends me, no matter what that is. You know, Hollywood has got people trained too. Did you know that? Because through many movies, if somebody hurts somebody, harms somebody, the first thing say, I'll never, ever forgive you. Dangerous words. Easy to say, but they're very dangerous and they're affecting somebody for eternity. Muslim terrorists believe that it's a righteous thing to slaughter enemies of faith. That's in the Quran. The infidels. That's why they, that time when we had a pastor stand up and tell us that we're serving the same God. No, we are not. Our God loves his enemies. He does not hate them or kill them. Benjamin Franklin was right when he said, doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging an injury makes you even with them. Forgiving an injury sets you above them. If I'm talking too quiet, but it sure is quiet in here. But I'll talk louder. But do you have a long-standing bitter? Now think about this. Do you have a long-standing, kind of an educating message today, I hope. Do you have a long-standing bitterness in your heart towards someone who hurt you? The Holy Spirit's working right now. Think back. I don't care how far you want to think back. Even if you come to Christ and you gave your life to Christ, is there something that you didn't release at the moment of your salvation? Is there someone back from your youth that hurt you and you're still carrying it around, using it as a thing for not doing what God calls you to do, to be what God wants you to be? Is it still hanging in there? Let the Holy Spirit do work. Maybe it's been very recent. Someone's harmed you, hurt you, on the job, in school, in the home, wherever, in the church. Let the Holy Spirit work right now. And if there is someone that comes to your mind that every time you think of their name, you have disgust, bad thoughts, maybe you need to say, Lord, maybe you don't know where they're at, or maybe they died, but you can say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. I don't want to, but I'm going to forgive them. And you forgave me when I was your enemy. I don't want to forgive them, Lord, but I'm going to do it because you told me to, and I obey you. That's hard to do. Because some people have got deep hurts that they carry around. And many times those deep hurts come out and they hurt other people. And that's why forgiveness can heal and bring healing and change our attitudes and our ways and help us to become humble before God. Do you cringe when you see that person at the shopping center? Do you walk on the other side of the street if you see that person walking toward you in the community? When you keep carrying old fester into cancer, into your soul, that's what it will do. The only thing that will set you free is the willful choice to forgive that person or group. Maybe it was a group who has wronged you, to release feelings of resentment and vengeance. You need to forgive them. It will do something in you. It will bring healing in you, your outlook, and the way you live your life, if you have forgiveness in your heart toward your enemy. Forgiveness is the core value of a true born-again Christian. Forgiveness can break the curse of hatred. There's Christians walking around. You can see their hatred because they're carrying it around from their past or recent things, whatever it is. And you can see it upon him, because it's a cancer when there's no unforgiveness. The greatest thing I can do if somebody offends me or hurts me is forgive them instantly, if possible. Sometimes you got to work through it a little bit. But many times, if you can forgive, do it right away, because that shows humility in your heart. And that's what God wants. God loves humility, and he resists pride. You're still with me this morning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think in your heart right now, this is...
Yeah.
I need to hear it. Forgiveness is not optional for a Christian. One lady said to her pastor, "I'm sorry, but I do not feel led to forgive at this time." The pastor says, "Really? Really? Who's leading your life these days?" If Jesus is leading your life, then we need to forgive, no matter how severe the harm or the hurt. Forgiveness, I want to talk about today, is not. I want to talk to you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not natural. The bench to the moon, Alice. I'll get even with you. The flesh always wants to get even. And you can hear that if you have arguments or anything. Somebody's going to get back. I'm going to have the last word. And it develops into hurts and harms. That's the natural thing, dwelling on thoughts, how you can get even and how you can get one above them. So forgiveness is not natural. And forgiveness is not easy. It's not easy. It's the most difficult thing you will ever do is to forgive someone who has stolen from you, rejected you, who has lied about you, hurt you or broken a vow to you, deceived you, tried to make a fool of you. And the list can go on and on. The hardest thing in the world to do is to forgive them for doing that. And forgiveness is not denial, by the way. When you forgive, you do not gloss over or deny the seriousness of the offense against you. It does not mean forgetting. You can't just keep putting hurtful things under another rug. You can't keep doing that. You got to forgive. Someone hurt you. Someone wronged you. How will you deal with that? How are you going to deal with it? Forget. When you think you arrived, you really haven't. That's when God's got to do more work. Remember Peter when he said he loved Jesus? God had to do some more work on Peter. But it's not a one-time event. You must get up daily and die of the anger in your heart. And there's people that are carrying anger in their heart, and they are like dynamite as soon as something is not said right. Or maybe in a way they thought was wrong, and that anger is just there ready to tear out. Because there's unforgiveness. Pride. It will happen several times in your life, maybe, that will say something that will trigger you, that will hurt you, harm you in some way. And those are the moments the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and I and say, forgive them right now. Forgive them. Even if they don't deserve it, forgive them. Because it's for you, not for them. And you'll see what a difference your life will take, a change. You'll see the difference how God will begin to move in your home, your church, your work, your school, whatever. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me." How often?
Daily.
They take up the cross when we follow Christ. Jesus means that something must die before we can live. Something's got to die within us. That's why fasting, Amy mentioned fasting today. Fasting is denying the flesh what it wants. The flesh says, feed me, feed me, feed me. And the spirit says, I'm in control. And the flesh says, no, feed me. That's why fasting's hard. Luke 9:24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." The Lord gave us that information. So forgiveness is not approval. Did you know that? It's not approval. Just because you forgive someone, that does not erase the wrong they've committed, and it does not condone or excuse the offense that was done. But we're to forgive. Forgiveness does not necessarily resume a relationship either. When you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean. I had a gentleman that said some offensive things to me. I forgave him, but he didn't forgive me for what he said. And later on, he did, and he said, "Can we?" And I said politely, "No, we can't. I receive your forgiveness, and I pray for you. You're my brother in Christ, but we cannot be friends." That's just the way it is. Because you lose that trust factor. But you forgive them, and they do. If I see him, I'll hug him, shake his hand. There's people I think of in my mind in the past, too, that said pretty horrible things, hurt or whatever. If I see him right now in my heart, I know I forgive him because I could walk up to him and say, "Praise the Lord." They might get offended, but that's okay. Nobody's going to stop me saying, "Praise the Lord." Relationships are built on trust. If someone has hurt you and broken that trust, you can forgive them, but you may not necessarily be able to resume that relationship, as I said. Philip Yancey has given a great quote on the meaning of forgiveness, and he says, "At last, I understand in the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I'm trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all the issues and fairness for God to work out. And the scales that must balance justice and mercy." It's a good word. Ronald Reagan, his attitude after the 1982 attempts on his life made an impression to his daughter, Patty Davis. As she watched the faithful example of President Reagan, she later declared this. She said, "The following day after the assassination attempt, my father said he knew his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive his attacker, John Hinckley. By showing me that forgiveness is the key to everything, including physical health, healing, he gave me an example of Christ-like thinking." That's what a good godly father does. Or mother, to be forgiving. That's so important in our hour that we're living, people, more than anything. There's a lot of people that are waiting for the trumpet. But you better say, "God, where's my heart?" Joseph showed that same example to his brothers. Esau forgave Jacob after years of estrangement. Jesus prayed for those who were crucifying him, and he asked the Father to forgive him. Stephen said of the accusers, "Lay not this side to their account." He forgave him while they were killing him, stoning him. But what about the times in our lives when we... What about the times when we feel that we can't forgive? What does that say about our faith as Christians? What does that say? I'm afraid the body of Christ in our generation has somehow overlooked the cancer of forgiveness. There's too much of it going on within the body of Christ. And we got to forgive one another. Amen. We've got to forgive one another. Amen. We have chosen to wear the victim label and have found it right in our sight to never forgive certain people. They said what they did or didn't do. That's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry for what the other person has done to hurt you or to harm you in any way. But for you to hold bitterness in your heart against them the rest of your life, it only hurts you. It only hurts me. No one else. It does us no good to not forgive someone. We may dislike them terribly, but we can forgive them. Just to look at them brings disgust to you. But you say, God, I forgive them. Pretty soon you might start. We never know. Our forgiveness, it helps us. But the person that you're forgiving, what it's going to do to them, we don't know. But we should be concerned about our soul. And Jesus, did he or did he not forgive us? Amen. And while we were yet his enemies, did he forgive us? Worse than that, it causes you to sin against God when you don't forgive. The scripture says a truckload of truth about the sin of unforgiveness. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation about unforgiveness. And here are the facts of unforgiveness. Close at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I just like to get you excited because when I get done early, you say, hey, that guy's all right. Fact number one, unforgiveness shows that we don't love Jesus the way we should. Ouch. Somebody says to me, well, I love Jesus. I say, do you really? Well, yeah, I do. And I said, do you obey him if I know they're living a certain lifestyle? And then they look down and say, well, no. I said, then do you really love him? You better get right. You better know for sure you love him. Don't just say it. You better, and if you say you love Jesus to somebody, you better be obeying him, and so should I. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Christ loved us and loves us. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts against someone, then we don't truly love them as Christ loved us. If we don't keep Jesus' commandments, then it shows that we don't love him like we should. Jesus added in John 14:24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Do you love hands, anybody? Let the Holy Spirit do the work. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You watching today, do you really love Jesus? Are you doing what God called us to do? Are you being faithful to him? Fact number two, unforgiveness is a sign of those who are not forgiven. If you are forgiven, you must forgive. But you can't give out what you don't have inside, right? Jesus said in Matthew 6:14-15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here's the danger. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, your Father forgive your trespasses. That means your offenses or sin. He won't forgive you. Isn't that kind of scary to you? If you've been hanging on and saying, I'm never going to forgive something, you might want to rethink that. Because if you don't, the Father says, I'm not going to forgive you. Because look what the Father did for you and I. He sent his son to be crucified upon a rugged cross so that we could be forgiven. Does this mean that anyone who does not forgive others cannot receive salvation from God? Let me put it this way to you. Struggling to forgive is not what destroys us. If we are in the flesh, we do our good deeds imperfectly, including forgiving and loving others. Jesus died to cover those imperfections. He sees the struggle we have, our desire to want to please him and to forgive, and we need to do that. And he sees that struggle, how we're working toward that. What destroys us is the settled position that we are not going to forgive, and we have no intention to forgive, and we intend to cherish the grudge and dwell on the wrong that someone did to me and feel the bitterness. We dwell on it. It feels good. I like to go to because he or she legitimately wronged me, thinking about how can I get even with them. I'm going to hold this against him or her the rest of my life. I know people like that. I know them. They have hate in their heart. They have anger. They have bitterness, and they're never smiling hardly ever. because they're full of unforgiveness. It's a cancer. It's eating them, and the day they lay on their deathbed, they better be forgiven. If we think we can be indwelt by the Spirit of Christ and not make war on that attitude, we are deluded. We need to. So if you have settled in with bitterness and anger and grudges, and you're not fighting this by faith in the mercy of Jesus to you, I hope this will unsettle you and give you the freedom to give you the freedom in Christ to let it go. The Holy Spirit will help you and I. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but neither give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.'" He will take care of everyone that has ever harmed us. He is the one who will do it. We can't. We need to forgive them. Let the Holy Spirit, one day they'll be your brother or sister in Christ, hopefully. I've experienced that. I've had some horrible words, believe me. And horrible words said back. But it all ended up where we forgave each other and he became my brother in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Only God can do that. So now instead of seeing him thinking, "Ah, here comes that jerk," I say, "Hey, there's my brother." Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We are not saved by our works of forgiveness, by the way. I just want to say that. That isn't what saves us, works. But we are saved without them. Not saved without them, excuse me, because it says faith without works is dead. James 2:14 through 18 tells us that. Fact number three, unforgiveness is contrary to the teaching of Jesus. Matthew 18:23 through 35, which I won't read the whole thing, shows the teaching of Jesus concerning the kingdom of heaven and forgiveness. And it says in verse 35, "So likewise also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." You need to read Matthew 18:23 through 35, talking about forgiveness. "The Father will judge us harshly if we do not forgive others." Unforgiveness is clearly against the will of the Father and the teaching of Jesus. Matthew 18:23-34 again talks about the servant that was forgiven much. He was forgiven, I'll just say he was forgiven $1 billion. It says in verse 28, "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, a lot less. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest me.'" Verse 30 put it this way, he had put him in prison. Had him put in prison. "Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till ye should pay all that was due unto him." That's a very good parable there. Thinking about in my church life, as beginning from a Christian in different churches and now this one too, how many people who've come into a church like settings like this and left the church like this because someone hurt them, offended them, and they go somewhere else only to get hurt and offended again? There's no perfect church out there. But they left. They left the body of Christ, and a lot of them don't even go to church anymore. Because why? Because there's unforgiveness in their heart. Rather than following Jesus and obeying Jesus, they looked at their own feelings and their own pride and said, "Nobody's going to talk to me like that and hurt me. Nobody. Somebody's going to tell you off. Somebody's going to say something that you don't like, and it's very hurtful at times. And when they do, God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to us, say, 'Keep your heart humble. Forgive them right now.'" Or walk away without retaliation. Jesus did. It says he never retaliated because his heart was humble. He could have got even. Believe me, he could have. But he didn't. He was humble. Fact number four, unforgiveness can hinder our prayers. Listen, prayer warriors. Listen, prayer warriors. John 15 verse tells us that if we abide in Christ, we will produce much spiritual fruit, and the way we abide in Christ is by keeping his commandments. Verse 12 tells us that his commandments is to love one another as he's loved us. You can read that. Look it up, John 15. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. Verse 7 tells us that if we abide in him by keeping his commandments and his word in us, we can ask for anything, it will be given to us. Could one of the reasons many prayers go unanswered is because we aren't keeping and obeying Jesus? Watch the spiritual digression. If we aren't forgiving others, if we aren't keeping his commandments, we aren't abiding in Christ's love. If we aren't abiding in his love, then how can we expect him to respond to our prayers? That's digression when there's no forgiveness. Pretty serious, isn't it? Are your prayers hindered? Are your prayers hindered? Could it be that you need to forgive someone? Maybe someone on your past, maybe someone not that long ago, is, do you really need to? You say, I can't stand that person. I can't stand them. But God says, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. They hurt you. Forgive them. Do it because Jesus said to do it. Because he did it for me. Hebrews 12, 14, 15 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look in diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That means contaminated. We need to get cleansed by the word of God. Unforgiveness is the cancer of the soul that leads to bitterness, and it keeps us from having peace in our relationships. And many families are torn apart because of unforgiveness. Because of unforgiveness. Children rebel because of unforgiveness. Parents are separated. All kinds of things. Remember Paco? Bitterness is a frozen form of present and active anger and resentment. Bitterness grows out of our refusal to let go when someone or something is taken from us. Bitterness is holding on to hurt until it has a hold on you. The past is the past. What's gone in the past is gone. No one can do anything about it. You can't. No one else can. But we can forgive.
Amen.
We can forgive. Bitterness is said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Fact number six, as I'm getting closer and closer to that word, unforgiveness allows Satan an advantage over us. We think we're spiritual, we got victory. No, we don't. If we're holding bitterness any amount in our hearts, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, to whom ye forgive anything. How? What?
Anything.
Anything. I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, meaning an overreach, or to make a gain into your spiritual life. If he gets a hold of that, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He's subtle. And we may think we're justified in holding grudges and unforgiveness, and we're not. We need to forgive. When Satan is allowed to have an advantage in our lives, it always leads to bondage. And there are Christians that are in bondage that come to church every Sunday and don't even know it. Because there's something in their heart that they haven't released. And that's why I want us to go home and hit home. That make us think. Number seven, unforgiveness can destroy a marriage, as I said earlier. Ruth Bell Graham, wife of evangelist Billy Graham, once said, a strong marriage is the union of two good forgivers. I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Why didn't I think of that? Ruth did. Don't you just love that name, Ruth?
Yes.
I'm ruthless without it. When a Christian spouse can be destroyed. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus forgave his bride. He did. 1 Peter 4:8 states that, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitudes of sin, meaning love. And that's a portrait of forgiveness. The love to be able to forgive. And this is how marriage should be between two believers in Christ. But when couples stop forgiving each other, they stop loving each other. Because now they start nitpicking and only looking for the negative because there's no forgiveness. Fact number 8, unforgiveness can bring curses into our life. We don't hurt the one who hurts us. We only hurt ourselves. That's who we hurt, really. Please read when you get a chance Deuteronomy chapter 28 to see what happens when God's people in the Old Testament disobeyed God's commandments. He allowed curses. Deuteronomy 26 says, Cursed be he that confirmeth, meaning to abide, to accomplish, to make good, not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. We need to read the word of God and obey it. When we disobey God, doesn't it? God says, do not steal, and you steal, you get caught, you get put in jail, you lose everything, you got a curse on you. You don't forgive somebody, God says in his Bible, what happens inside of us? When people today disobey God, it can do the same thing, very same thing. Disobedience and unforgiveness can result in physical problems, financial problems, divorce, and family issues, mental and emotional stress, among other issues. The Word of God tells us that unforgiveness is a cancer that brings curses into our life. And if you will not forgive, do you think it will eventually, if not right away? George Herbert from the 17th century said, the man who refuses to forgive destroys the bridge over which he himself must cross. Another good one, huh? Joseph looked to God and found a way to forgive. Can you? So in conclusion, I could keep on because there's so much about it, but I'm going to stop it there. I think I gave you enough things to think about, to disagree with or to agree with on. And if you disagree with me, I forgive you. Just going to hold it against you. But here's 5 questions to ask yourself. Who has hurt you in such a deep way that you cannot get over it? Identify that person in your heart and mind. Have you asked God to help you to forgive this person? If not, stop and do it right now. Do it before your heart stops. Get it under the blood. What keeps you from forgiving that person and moving on with your life? Do you think you can take God's forgiveness for your sin and keep bitterness in your heart toward the one who sinned against you? Are you willing to confess your unforgiveness today? For it's better to forgive the injustice of past rather than to allow them to remain, lest bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life with a spiritual cancer of the soul. I struggle with it too even during my Christian life, and I gotta forgive. And this morning, I want you to stand up, please, and just start coming forward because I'm gonna lead you in a prayer that if you've got hurt and harm in your life and you're still struggling with people in your life and you're saying, God, I wanna forgive them, but I'm struggling, you come on up here right now. It's the most important thing you can do in your spiritual life. Churches need to do this. Matthew chapter 18, 21, 22 says, then how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but unto to the 70 times 7. That means 490 times, and really is what Jesus is saying, as many times as it takes, you forgive. Because he did. We can't do this on ourselves. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, without Jesus, ye can do nothing. But with his Spirit living in me, he can give me the power to forgive, and he did. He gave me the power. That's why there will be no excuses on Judgment Day, because anyone proclaiming to be a true born-again Christian, you've got that power within you to give someone forgiveness, as hard as that may be. But I think I gave you enough stuff to chew on this morning from the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit do the work within you. There's an African woman that gave her heart to Christ. Her husband was the chief of the Zulu tribe. When she told him what she had done, the chief beat her brutally. As she was lying on the floor bleeding, the man mocked her and said, "Now, what can your Jesus?" The woman picked herself up and tenderly, tearfully said, "He can help me to forgive you." It's all about Jesus. So I'm going to say a prayer this morning over you. I'd like you to just block out people. Close your eyes. And as I say this prayer and receive it into your spirit, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive anyone in your past, anyone in your life right now, in your home, in your church, just do it as I read. I put it down so I could think. But my prayer for those who need to forgive. Lord, my heart has been wounded by someone who hurt me deeply. I've been very angry and bitter because this happened. And I haven't been able to let go of the pain. I've wondered many times where you were when this happened to me, Lord. I acknowledge that a spirit of unforgiveness has overtaken me and is not from you. I confess that I cannot do this without your help. Bond forgiveness right now. Cleanse my heart of all anger, bitterness, resentment, revenge I have toward the one who hurt me or group. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power to overcome my flesh. Let me walk in the freedom of forgiveness. Let me see the one who hurt me through your eyes. Help me to take my offender to the cross and leave him there. Cover his or her face with the precious blood of Jesus until I can see them no longer. I forgive the one who sinned or the ones who forget you. If the enemy comes in like a flood and brings bitterness back to my heart, I will stand on this confession. I leave final judgment in your hands and will no longer hold this sin to his or her account. I am no longer a slave to the cancer of unforgiveness. I praise you, powerful name, the name of Jesus, for my freedom. I give you all the praise and all the glory and honor, Lord, as you work in my heart and in my life to give me a humble heart, to continue that should I be harmed or hurt by words, by action, by deeds in the future, that my heart is ready to represent you in every area of my life. For to be like you, Jesus, to be like you is the greatest thing that can happen to me. Let people see you in me, and even my enemies who have harmed me, that I can look at them and say, I forgive you, and walk away, and knowing that the Holy Spirit has used you to touch yourself as well as that person or persons. So Lord, we leave this cancer at the altar this morning. We leave it here, and we speak the blood of Jesus Christ over each mind this morning, over each heart, that we walk out forgiven in ourselves. Your forgiveness, Lord, is the greatest forgiveness and the greatest example of forgiving someone else. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word and warning us, especially in this hour we live, Lord. There's so much hateful things said and done. Holy Spirit, do a work right now, just for a moment of silence. Move upon hearts. Bring back joy. Let their memories be healed, Lord. As we're gathered here as the body of Christ and those watching this morning, thank you. Lord, I'm asking that as we leave, that we truly love one another. We don't have to like each other's, Lord, but you told us we had to love people. We can still be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, and loving. So, Lord, do a work in our hearts continually, should Jesus tarry. Help us to be more like you. Touch each home, each life right now, Lord. As they go through this week, Father, renew their strength in their hearts and their lives and bring blessings into their lives, and they're freed from the cancer of unforgiveness, even hidden for unforgiveness that is hiding in their hearts. Lord, reveal it to them that it can get under the blood. Let the homes, the people, walk in your blessings and your love and your forgiveness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray it, and everybody said, amen. Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. I know the Lord's going to continue to do work in our life. And if I say anything that hurt anybody or harmed anybody, you need to forgive me. And I need to forgive you, right? Always let the Holy Spirit bring it quickly to our minds so that we have a church that the power of God can begin to move in a supernatural way. Because I'm believing that we are going to see some supernatural things, but we got to have cleanliness, get ourselves all cleaned out. Amen. Our prayers will not be hindered. So you have a blessed afternoon. Shake somebody's hand on the way out. Tell them you're glad they are.